feel like the Lord's inspired a thought to my heart. To everyone that has ever found themselves at their wits' end. You ever been there? You ever been in a place that the mountain that you face looked too big? Maybe the valley too deep for you? You ever been in a place to where maybe the failures of your life seemed like they was impossible? Or maybe the obstacles that were around you caused you to feel like you couldn't go on? You ever been in a place that you said, what am I to go on to? I can't move from here. Or you ever feel stagnated? You ever feel like the pressures of life have got you into a place of stagnation that you can't go on, and possibly that you can't feel like that you can be what the Lord really wants you to be? Maybe there's a place of what do we call it, failure, or that weakness of life that I can't really ever seem to get over. It's been there. I've tried to deal with it, maybe, and I can't get on with it. And it causes me to be in a place that I feel less than I should be, and I want to be more, but somehow you can get into a place that the mountain seems, because you try to climb it, you can't do it. And after a while, it looks like I can't get there. You can't get there. You can't. And to everyone that's ever found themselves in a position like that, I think God has an inspiration for us tonight. Over in the third chapter of Ephesians, I'm going to start with the 16th verse. It says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him, we'll stop right there a minute. That expression is one of deep adoration and worship to God. Unto Him, unto God. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, the psalmist wrote, but unto Thee, O Lord. Unto God, unto Him He's looking and bringing the most sincere form of adoration and worship, because He says, now, after all that I said, now, to give Him His due and His honor and what's coming to Him, now unto Him that is able, thank God, unto Him that is able to take us from step unto step, from line upon line, from a place that we're in, that place that we feel stagnated, unable to move, unable to get beyond the failure of my life, unable to get beyond the mountain that's obviously too big for me. The circumstances that's crowded itself around my life that drains me of hope and experience, of the joy of life that happens. You know, I remember years ago thinking, you know, it would be quite a plan of God if when we got saved, good and just good and saved, if the Lord would just take us out of here. But folks, it don't work that way. I was saved in about 86. I got saved in 86, and I've been through a lot of times of life. Up, downs, crowded in, victories, joy. But it's life's experience that happens. And there's going to be times, and this, the beauty of these messages that the Lord sends is that you may be able to say, I'm not in that place right now. Wait till tomorrow. Because it's a part of life. But now, unto Him that is able, the mountain's not too big. Years ago, I was a surveyor, and I remember one day at the end of the day, my job was to carry a big sledgehammer and 3 1-inch rebars. They was 36 inches long, and my job was to carry them up on the top of the mountain where we had already set places for corners, and my job was to go up there to the top of the mountain, and I was at the bottom of the mountain. And my job was to go to the top of the mountain with these and set these corners up there. And so it was late up in the afternoon, and so I started up this, and I looked, and it was quite a mountain. It was a long ways up there. So I took off rebar on one shoulder, sledgehammer on the other shoulder, and I walked a little ways, and I thought, well, I'll be honest with you, I talk to myself a lot as I go, and I say, well, I'm gonna go up to that point right there, and then I'm gonna rest. And I walked up to that point, and when I got there, I was gonna put my load off, and I feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, don't stop, keep going. And it was a strange impression, but I said, I don't feel that bad, so I kept going. And up the hill I went, and I looked a little farther up, big old oak tree up there, and I thought, I'm going to lean against that oak tree, and I'm going to drop my load here. And I got up there, and the voice said, don't stop, keep going. And, well, I could probably push a little bit more, and so I kept going and picked me another spot and got up there. And by this time, the weight of this was starting to dig into my shoulders. My legs was starting to burn. My lungs was starting to gasp for the breath and burning of my lungs. And I got up to a certain point, and the voice said, don't stop. Keep going. And I can go a little bit farther. And I looked, and there's the top. There's the top. And I'm thinking, I can make the top. And I kept going, and I got up to a certain, but it wasn't the top. It was a false summit. It wasn't really the top. And I got to that point, and I looked, and the top was a long way still up there. But the voice said, don't stop. Keep going. And I had a sense of determination hit over me, and I began to really, but at one point I remember dropping my head and thinking, okay, one more step. I can do one more. I can do one more. I can do one more. It's hurting more now. I'm really laboring now to breathe. I'm hurting in my shoulders more. I can one more, one more, one more. And I one more all the way up to the top. And when I got to the top, it was like the voice of the Lord said, lower your burden. You've made it. And you can go to heaven if you want to. And the sense of joy that reigned over, of victory that reigned over me, the sense of God willing to speak with this poor old man and teach him the ways of God, that you can do it if you give yourself to it. It isn't my ability that does it at all. But the Lord wants us to know you have a part in this. You can go to heaven if you want to more than anything else in the whole world. And I want to tell you my message tonight. The burden that the Lord gave me tonight is one of inspiration, but it's one of who God is. We serve one that is able tonight. And when we're stuck, and when we can't move, and we can't go anywhere else, we've got one that is able. He is able to deliver you today. He's able to keep you, bless you, encourage you, teach you the lessons of life to what you need to know that you can get there. He is able tonight. There have been those that got in this situation. I'm thinking of Moses and the children of Israel. Moses came after 400 years of bondage to the children of Israel. And he came, and I won't take time to go through it all, but the Lord had a great purpose in the way he dealt with the Egyptian situation. He was wanting to bring his people out of Egypt, but they had been saturated of generations and generations of idolatry. And he came, and not only, he came to say, I am God. I am, he said. When Moses said, who? Well, you say sent me? I am's going to send. It's I am. See, all the gods had a name. There was the name of the sun god and the Nile god and all these gods. And they knew what that name meant. But when they said, they're going to ask me because the name's important. And the Lord said, above everybody else, all these gods that they claim there is, I am existent. I am God of the universe. I am all power, all every place. I am God. Tell him I am has come. I am. You know what he did with all of those idols? In 10 plagues, he confounded them all. That's why he hardened the Pharaoh's heart, because there was still another idol all the way down. The God of the river was confounded. The God of the insects, confounded. The God of the crops, confounded. The God of the storms, of hail, of those, confounded. And he come down to the last of the last. You know what it was? Life and death. Life and death, and the gods of all life and death, confounded. You know what he confounded before that? The sun, the moon. See, you had Apollo. And the way they believed that each god had his section. You know, there was a time that they said, well, let's get these Israelites down here where we can fight them, because they got the God of the mountain. Let's get them in the valley. God said, I'm going to fight. Well, I want to show you where God's at. He's in the mountain and he's in the valley. And you know what's the problem with a sun god? He only rules half the time. That's the problem with him. But he said, I am God. I am God of the sun. I'm God of the moon. And he wanted his people, Egypt, the whole land, he wanted his people mainly to know and to understand something. He was God of it all. And they came out of Egypt, didn't they? And they come out with a great victory, a great, great, glorious victory. And they marched out and they got up against the Red Sea. And what you can't cross. And all of a sudden they turn around and here comes the chariots of the Pharaoh. And there they are, stuck in life, stuck. They don't know what to do. What are we going to do? We're facing the impassable, the impossible. It's too big for us. We can't fight with horses and chariots. We have nothing to fight with. We can't. The sea's too big for us to try to cross. Here we are with our. You ever been in a place that you felt like that the world was falling down on you, and you'd went as far as you could go, and there's no, you can't do anything else but unto him that is able. Where are we going to look? Unto him. Unto him. It's great worship. You know that we come together. I appreciate tonight was wonderful, by the way. The testimonies, the songs rang true. It was a worship. Everything was wonderful, but I'm going to tell you, folks, we're only going to be here about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Worship is more than coming together. Worship is what you do with your life. And it's unto him that is able. When I get to it, when it comes down into that kind of place, and I'm spinning my tires, and I'm saying, Lord, I've lived this way, and I've wanted to work for the Lord. I don't even know what my calling is. I don't even know. I don't even know what to do with my life. I feel like I'm stuck. Unto him that is able. Than to him that is able to do what? Exceedingly and abundantly. This was such a sense of worship. To him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I remember several years ago, Brother Dale Doolittle, that'd be Sister Renee's grandfather, he was in a place. His body had given up on him. He had muscular dystrophy. Had it for years. It had come to the point that he was drawn in the neck. That's one of the things it does. He's sitting there all drawn in his wheelchair. And he says to me, Brother Marty, I'm so worthless sitting here. I can't do anything anymore for the Lord. Why don't he take me? I said, Brother Dale, I only get up in the pulpit. That's all the preaching I'd have been doing. I said, you're preaching a message. You're preaching a life here. He is proving through you that he's a God that's able. He's able. Oh, I'm going to tell you, at that time, these hospice workers was coming in there and getting courage from his life of faith in God and what he was doing and how he lived and believed in God. And I'm saying, you have more here to do and to say for God than I've ever done. Why? Because he's able. He is able to do with you. And all now the children of Israel, they're up against the Red Sea. And everything is impossible, isn't it? It is for man. It is for you and I. But it wasn't for God. And God wasn't going to leave His people there, floundering on the beaches of the Red Sea. He had brought them. Folks, He's bringing you. He's bringing me. He's bringing them to the ultimate place of God and the experience of God. What a great, outstanding miracle that went down through the children of Israel right into our time of faith. It was with the people that got to the Red Sea, their backs against it. Here comes nothing else to do. And the Lord told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And there was an east wind. And then what started happening? The impossible. Now it's not impassable. God is working and dealing. And all of a sudden, how does water perform that way? Water don't perform that way. It seeks its own level always, doesn't it? I think I learned that one time. Water seeks its own level. It will always level itself, doesn't it? It's a physic rule. It does. It always does. But all of a sudden, this one didn't. It started defying the law. Why? Because God's the law. He made it, and He can cause it to work. And now where they thought, I'm stuck. I can't go anywhere. We can't move no farther. I'm bound by the circumstances of life. God makes a path through it. Unto Him that is able tonight. Oh, this isn't isolated. There was a time that old Joshua came up to a battle. You remember the time that God, he came up to a battle? And they had was winning the battle, but they run out of time. And Joshua prayed unto the Lord and asked for more time. And the scripture says, has there ever been a day that God hearkened more to the voice of a man? Never before it? Or never like it unto this day, He caused the sun to stop in its course. Folks, I'm going to tell you, unto Him that is able for our purpose to cause this universe, our solar system, actually stopped in its normal rotations. You believe that? I believe it. I believe it. They say the earth spins and it goes around and the whole thing stopped for the duration of a day. Until they was able to secure their victories over their enemies, they was up against it. What are you going to do? It's going to get dark on us and we're going to lose the whole thing. But unto Him that is able, He allowed them to go on and get the victory. But they didn't isolate it there. Do you remember the time? The children of Israel had went to battle against the Philistines. And out came a great champion of the Philistines, Goliath of Gath. Gigantic man, 9 foot 9 inches tall, had a coat of armor, weighed about 140 some pound. His spear was like a weaver's beam. And he came out to the children of Israel and he said, send me a man down here. You all call yourself warriors? Send me a man. If I win, you're our servants. If you win, we'll be your servants. Send a man. And then he started defying God. And you know what the story is? They was up against it. What are we going to do here? Anybody here able to fight this guy? Nope. Nobody's fighting that guy. He's too big. He's a warrior. He's bigger than we are. He's mighty. I'm scared. Let's just be honest. You ever had dark, long nights? Honestly, have you ever been scared in the middle of the night? Has it ever been so dark and so long and the old devil comes to you? And it gets worse and worse. I remember several years ago, I was in the middle of the night. One of the children was sick. The devil was a tormenting. I was a longing for the sun to come in the day. And I remember hollering at my wife, honey, you got to get up. I need help. I'm out. I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. Well, you may say, well, you got to be bigger than that. I ain't bigger than that. But I know one that's able. I know one that's able. I know what them guys was facing the Philistines with. They were scared. They were scared. They faced something bigger than them in the natural sense of it, and they didn't want to face it. You ever been there, folks? I see it. Lord, I see it. I see what I got to do. I see the way it's shaping up around me. Lord, please, no. I don't want to go through this. I'm not ready. You ever say that to the Lord? I'm not ready to go through another sickness, Lord. I'm not ready for another sleepless night. I'm not ready for the darkness. I'm not ready for... You ever done that? I have. But to Him that is able tonight... I'm going to tell you, there is a remedy for this to him that is able. It isn't our power, our ability. It isn't how we can think or what we can do. It isn't gathering, but it's unto him that is able. There was a situation, a big situation. Folks, I'm going to tell you something else. Living for God isn't about not realizing the truth either. It really isn't. It isn't about saying, I'm not going to face it. It isn't real if it don't make it real. That's a falsehood. We ain't looking to say the thing isn't real. We're saying we got a God bigger than the reality of it. That's what we're saying. It would have been foolish to say, oh, there ain't no giant down there. There ain't no giant down there. We're just going to act like the whole army of the Philistines is not even down there. Let's just ignore the whole thing and it'll go away. No, it won't go away. It'll just encroach on you more and more and press in more and more. Depression, oppression, depression that happens in our lives from ignoring. No, we're not to ignore it. We're to face it right up with the challenge of our faith. Lord, to him that is able. You're able, Lord, to face the things that I can't face. And what does he do? To prove it's God, he picks a shepherd boy. You know, God could have made there been a guy in Israel. It's just God. He could have made there been an 11-foot guy in Israel that had arms like Goliath's legs. Yeah, God can do anything. But that ain't showing God very. We're saying unto him that is able. You know what he's able to do? Take the shepherd boy. He goes and gets the shepherd boy. Small, insignificant, full of faith. Full of faith and belief and a worship and adoration to God. Do you know David had in his heart, I'd rather die than see God blasphemed here. I got a heart to see him and long for him to be lifted up. That's what this is saying unto him. Oh, unto you, O Lord, unto you. Use my life to exalt. I'm stuck, but you're not stuck. You're not stuck in the quagmires of life. Lift me up out of here. You remember where old David was in another place? He was in a cave. He was in a cave and he wrote a psalm that expressed that. And in that expression of that psalms, it was like he was crying out, Lord, I want to be a witness for you. And I've testified of your greatness and delivering. And you delivered me from the lion and the bear and the giant and all those things. And now how can I testify to the glory of God? Here I am stuck in a cave, sniveling like a poor guy. I can't get out of here. Lord, deliver me that I can glorify your name. He sent the shepherd boy up there, and here the whole army of Israel is stuck. Stuck. They can't go forward. They definitely can't go back. Because if they go back, they're going to be took over. They can't go forward because it's too big. So they send the shepherd boy. And that's what it took, folks, because it wasn't David that did it. He just went representing, and he said, the battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. It's God's battle. And he went there in faith in God. Oh, he went with his sling. He picked him up a few stones as he went. And he went down to face the giant. And the giant had been had because of faith in God. And then David could honestly say unto him that is able. And the armies of Israel took courage. They took courage. They got something that they had. Not in the quagmire. Not spinning. Not wondering what our purpose is anymore. Realizing now, through faith of one little shepherd boy, that we move on in God. We keep going in God. Your testimony is important tonight. Do you know that your testimony to stand up and say, I was in the low place, but unto him that is able, I want to tell you tonight, I was there and God came and delivered me out of that. I was discouraged, depressed, run down, oppressed. The devil's taking advantage of me, and now I'm on top again because God, and I'm moving on for him. My faith is growing. And I believe more in him because he's done something for my life. He's delivered me from the problems, the faults, the failure, the besetting sin, the thing that weights my legs. He took it from me, and now I'm going on in God. I'm able to take the next step. What's your next one? Where's God want you to go? Oh, I'm too shy to testify. No, you're not. Because unto him that is able to put a word in your mouth. You say, I'm not smart enough to do it. Well, I'd have to quit. Most of us would have to give it up. Well, I've not got the word. Yeah, Moses, we've heard that before that you can't speak. I'll send Aaron with you. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. Do you remember when David went out, took a group of his men out, and he left the stuff behind, and when he come back, the Philistines had come in and taken the women and the children. and all of those possessions that they had, and they come back and his men look at him. What kind of a leader are you? You should have foreseen this. You had no leader, and they said, get the stones. We're going to take care of him. Let's stone him. And Dave, well, you remember what David did? You know what he did? He run into a position. Can't whoop them all. Can't run from them. It's true. All of our stuff is gone. What am I going to do? My back's against the wall. I'm going to be stoned to death. I have no option. The mountain's too big. The valley's too wide. I am a failure. And he went and encouraged himself in the one that's able. He was able. And he went to the one that was able and poured it out before him and said, Lord, I'm not capable. What am I going to do? They're going to stone me. They're going to stone me to death. And the Lord said, get up out of there. I got something for you. You pursue after them, and I'm going to give you all your stuff back. So he goes now back to his men. I can say they were still, and they said, put the rocks away. I've been with the Lord. Get your stuff. We're going to go get it back. Because he's able. The Lord is able to get us up and going again. You feeling like you're depressed? Our world's changing. A part of the world's changing is a gloom. Isn't it? A darkness. The old devil's depressing. Bringing that kind of stuff upon our land. Our land. What are we going to do? To him that is able, that's what we're going to do. It don't matter how. I'm going to tell you something about the darkness. The Lord had to show me this many times. He says, I'm the God of the darkness as well as the light. Day of the night, as well as the day of the night, as well as the day of the darkness and day of the sun and the day. I'm in the day, I'm in the night. I'm God. In all of these situations is God. There was another story of a king, Hezekiah. And the great army of Assyria came against it. Sennacherib had come. And he was utterly destroying the nations that was before him. And they would call upon their gods for deliverance against Sennacherib, and he would roll them over. So he come up to the borders of Israel, and he comes in, and he makes his speech to them and says to them, give up, for we're mightier than you. And don't let Hezekiah try to tell you that your God can deliver you, because that's what they've all said. And we're coming to be easier on you. Just give up. Just give up. You know, that's the way old devil does it. Just give up. Give up. Look at this. Look at this on you. You've never been successful. You've always been a failure in this area. You know, you just as well quit. You're never going to be what the rest of them are. You're never going to be real. You're never going to be. You remember old Hezekiah getting that letter? He got the letter, explained it all, and he went before the Lord. And he put it out. In my mind's eye, he was like, Lord, I've read the letter, and I want you to read it. Read this letter. Read their accusations. Read what they've said. They say that you're no God at all. And he laid it out before the Lord. You know, Israel didn't pull a sword on that battle. Israel didn't have to do anything, because it wasn't their battle. Unto him that is able. He's able to take care of those things. It isn't by our might, our smartness, it's by faith in God. He laid that out by faith before the Lord and said, Lord, defend us, your people. Defend us of these problems. Help us in this. Lord, help our faith for 2012. We live in a time that saturates us with the negativities of the world, and it saps from us our faith in God if we ain't very careful. And we forget the reality of a great and mighty creating God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are asked and think. And I'm going to tell you, I'll take that for what it's worth and tell you, I have an extraordinary imagination. I can really think of some things. And this says more than you can ask or think. And I can think of some things, but that isn't really what it's talking about of doing all that things. It's saying more than you can possibly imagine in the care of your soul. He's able to do it. He's able to overturn Anything that needs overturned, he can overthrow the governments, he can overthrow the powers of hell, he can do anything in the protection of your soul, he can do it with ease, he can do it in a shadow, he can do it in great revelation, or he can do it behind the scene. He can do it and let the world see it, or he can do it till you only by your faith will see it. God can do it because he's able to do this. Oh, there was still others. There was a time that Daniel, that the king had a dream and he wanted it interpreted. So he goes to his magicians, his astrologers, and he says, I had a dream and I want you to tell me what it means. And they said, all right, you tell us a dream, we'll tell you what it means. And the king says, I forgot. Now tell me. And they're like, well, king, who could possibly tell the meaning of a dream if you don't tell us what the dream is? And he says, imposters, kill them all. Kill all of them because they're imposters and they're not, they're making it up. They can tell me. And the word got to Daniel, and so Daniel made a plan. Now, hold on a minute. What man can tell another man what dream he dreamed? We can't, but I know one that can. You give me the time. And I'm going to tell you, Daniel was in a tight place. He had come up against the place that, what are you going to do? When you get the king after you, it's a bad situation. He's got the right to say, cut their heads off. And Daniel is up against a situation that he did not make for himself. That's life, folks. You'll hit it too. You'll say, how did I ever get here? I've had people so angry at me they couldn't hardly stand it, and I didn't do a thing. I didn't even try to do it. I was completely innocent of it, and he's mad at me anyway. How did I ever get there, Lord? Oh, Lord, how did I ever get there? And you can get stuck with that kind of place in life. How can I go on? You know, Daniel could have been bitter over that. You know, bitterness is being stuck. It really is. You never can really go where God wants you to. You never can overcome what the Lord, when you have those places there. And Daniel could have took that route. He wasn't guilty. But yet it was laid upon him, the opportunity, if you will. And he in his life says unto him that is able. There is nothing impossible. And he went to the Lord as the one that gave the dream, and surely he knows what the dream is. And after his fasting and praying to the Lord revealed unto him not only the meaning, he told him what the dream was. And he comes before the king now and is able to say, O king, the Lord, you notice that, the Lord, God, has showed me the dream and the interpretation thereof. It's not of man, it's of God. And he began to tell him his dream, and the king was no doubt. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. And I know that there's something more because you told me the dream, I will definitely believe the interpretation thereof. What do you have? But again, it was impossible. It was fearful and damaging, and it was everything that you wouldn't want to face in life. But folks, we have a God to worship, to adore, to lift up in our lives and say to those that are around us, folks, it's where we drop the ball most of all in our life. And I'm not meaning to be critical, but I know a lot of good saints living for the Lord many times will not take the ball when it's in their court to say, God is able. God is magnificent. God is wonderful. Now unto him, my neighbors, unto him, my family, my unsaved children, my unsaved wife, unto him that is able. He's able with my life and to give my life that he might be able to use that across the mountains that I can't climb, to cross the oceans that I can never go across, to do the impossibles. Only God can do that. And Daniel met the impossible and won. And then he got another time to where the king had made a decree. You remember that? And again, he's for nothing but being faithful. He's up against the wall again. No doubt you could say it was fearful and all this, but I'm going to tell you what he did. He went unto him that is able and threw the windows open as aforetime, like he always done. He done it again. Why? Because unto him that is able. That's why he done it. He wasn't just living to himself. I'm living to the kingdom. I'm living to the prosperity of all generations, that it would be written, God is able. He's able to deliver in any situation. And so why not throw the windows open? I've done it before and God's been faithful. God has helped me, blessed me, kept me. God is the life that I live for. I live for it is God, and so I'm going to swing it open. I know what they're trying to do. I know what's going to happen if they do. I know a God that's able. And he threw it open and he prayed always, because it was more important to have God on your side than the Pharaoh's approval. But they saw him and they brought him, and the decree could not be changed. And so they threw him into the lion's den. And now he's facing the impossible, the impassable, the darkness of night, the threat of claws and teeth ripping apart and the agony of death. He's in the impossible, impassable, the fearful. But the king comes out the next day and says, O Daniel, is thy God, who thou serve continually, able? Is he able? Oh, is he able to deliver thee? And there was a voice came from the darkness of that early morning. You could just see it. O king, live forever. You mean he's not bitter? No. Why would I be? God just used a man. You know, there really isn't anything different than any of us and Daniel. He wasn't made extraordinary. He was a man of flesh that put his life in God's hands. We're not different than David. We're not different than Hezekiah or any that's went before. We're men. But the scripture says, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. But again, you know, there's always, I like this saying, there's a place, there's a part for God to do and there's a part for us to do. We can't do his and he won't do ours. And it says, according to the power that works in us. What is that power? You could say of the Holy Ghost, of faith in God. The power that motivates us into the willingness to stand in that place, believing that he is able to show himself God on my behalf. He is God. And you know what? I expect that every one of us in here is going to face those kind of places. I've seen people face them with great victory. I've seen those come down faithfully to death with their hearts steadfast on God, unwavering that they're in God's hands. And you know, it's more than just saying, well, it's deliverance to be healed in this body. Folks, it's deliverance not to be. Ultimately, the greatest of the deliverances is when we're successful in our soul, cross from this to the next life. That's success, the ultimate of all success. And can we face it? Is it possible for a man to come down to the end of this mortal life with peace in his heart, with a resignation that I'm going on, and have the joy of it? Is it possible to face those kind of places? Yes, because unto him that is able, we can do it. We can do it. I'm minded of a story of I think it was in Fox's Book of Martyrs, of a woman that had a 12-year-old son, and this they were Christians, and they caught him, and they was actually burning this 12-year-old boy, gonna burn him to death, and the fire was lit. And it was, the account was that the mother was there, and of all that you could say, what would you say, mothers, to your only son there that's about to lose his life? What would you say? You know what she said? Oh, my son, hang on to your faith and believe in Christ, but it'll be a moment you'll be with him. She was there encouraging him. Stay and keep a hold of Christ. He's able. He's able. Keep a hold of Him. Have faith in God. You may say that she would have broken, said, oh, we can't, my son. I can't do without you. But no, unto Him that is able to give us grace to survive this old world and overcome all these pressures of life. He's able. He's able to do it. And with great victory, they went on. Do you know that the Christian church was built by that kind of giving up to God? The sacrifice of generations of people that gave themselves wholeheartedly to God because He's able. I believe in Him utmostly. He is what He said He is. He said He made a place for us. Folks, He did make a place for us. And He's able. You got places in your life you can't forgive? Don't settle for that. It's like a ball and chain. It'll drag you down. It'll stick you in the mud. Don't settle for that, because unto Him that is able, seek Him. And He can deliver you from it. Oh, I know of a case just recently. It was so glorious. There was a woman that had bitterness in her life, and every time she wanted to think about being saved, that thing would come up. Somebody had done her wrong. She had felt done wrong. And she just said, I can't forgive them. Every time she wanted to, and she'd say, I can't forgive them. Well, just recently in the meeting, the word came forth. She came forth. She got down and started dealing with that. And when she got up, she said, oh, I forgave them. I forgave them. I can go on and be saved. I can go on. And she said, I'm going to make it all right. I'm going to call her and tell him I don't hold it anymore. I'm going to do everything that I can. And you and I will look and say, it's impossible. It's impossible. They've done too much. My loved ones went too far. They can't be. They don't want God. They don't do those things. Oh, yeah, in our minds, but unto Him that is able. I know there's a choice, folks, but God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. The amount of conviction and power and His dealings with souls can be enormous. God can work. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory. Again, putting it back to the adoration and glory to God. There is a scripture that speaks something like this, that we'll end up with our crown at the end. Being faithful. Paul said that there's a crown laid up for me, but not to be alone. For everyone that loves His appearing, there's a crown. But what are we going to do with the crown? What are we going to do with it? I think there's a scripture that says, I'm going to throw it back. Give it back. I'm going to cast it at His feet. I've got victory, but who does it belong to? It's not our victory. It's of the Lord that we get victory. It's unto Him. And this is the expression after this of what we can do and obtain and all the victories of down through time of all that was faithful. Now, unto who? Now, it says unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages, I suppose that comes down to 2012. Glory unto Him through Jesus Christ unto all ages, down even to the end of time. There's our victory. If you've ever been or are now in a place that you say, I'm so stuck. I am in such a rut in my life. I'll tell you how to get out of it. Unto Him that is able. He's the answer. Go to the Lord and pull that case out to the Lord and say, Lord, You've delivered all through the ages and I need delivered. Help me, Lord, in this space. And God is able. And my experience is that many times there is great deliverances, I know, in moments and instants of time. But in a lot of times, it's by taking one step up the mountain after another. And it's facing the foes that I've not been willing to face before. My fears, my doubts, my fears of embarrassment. I told the Lord when I first started preaching, Lord, the only way I could handle it was this. I felt so incapable that I said, Lord, I feel Your pulling. I'll become a fool. I'll make a fool of myself if I have to. Heard a saying recently. The question was, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. And that's the way you got to look at this too. It's a bite. It's a step at a time. It's a little bit here. But I'm going to tell you what happens. If you was the endeavor to eat an elephant one bite at a time, you'll see the day that you eat every bit of it. And that's the way this works too, line upon line, precept upon precept. We go, we live, we have faith in God, and God through His workings brings us to the place of perfect timing for you. You're in a rut, there's a perfect timing for you to pop that rut. And God can bring, you turn it over to Him, and He'll find the time for you. And it'll, we don't like to hear this, but I'm telling you, sometimes it takes something. It takes a storm. It takes a stir. It takes something to get that to you. But He is so able. It was in Green Bank, there where I lived one time. I lived right by the creek there. And I was about out of firewood. And I was really wondering about where I was going to get firewood. Well, it started raining. And it rained and it rained. And just now it was flooding. I lived right by it. And it was scary. I mean, the water was coming up around. And you know, when it was all said and done, the water had receded. And I looked out and there was a little bit of brush and stuff and around. And there was firewood all over the place. I had to cut it. But it was like I was saying, I needed firewood, and the Lord brought it. He supplied my need through the storm. He got me to that place through the storm. Folks, God's able tonight. He is so worthy. Let our hearts tonight be full of adoration to Him and lift Him up in praise. Exalt Him with our lives. Live for Him. Worship is more than the gathering. Worship is a sense of our life. It is what God is to us all the time. Our sense of the magnificent, the wonderful, the great God that He is. He can fortify our minds, our hearts. I found a lot of times I'd be praying that the Lord would change the circumstance. He don't have to change the circumstance. He can give us grace for the time of the circumstance. Oh, in one of the hardest times I was ever in, my first wife was dying. I was so unsure of life. It was so much stress. It was so much pressure. All that was coming. I had hit my wits' end. I was at the end of the rope, and I told the Lord, Lord, I'm at the end of the rope here. I'm at the end of the rope. I got another night to face. I don't think I can face it, Lord. I'm at the end of it. I need help. And it was as if the windows of heaven opened on me. And I felt it all over me. And the Lord didn't change one circumstance that was around me, but there was an overwhelming sensation of grace in my heart that assured me that I was going to be able to be faithful all the way. This was not going to overtake me. He won't put more on us than we can bear. And He is able. He is able to take care of your need, whatever they are or whatever is in your future. He is able tonight to take care of it. You pray for me.